We're continuing the book of Ezra. We're up to what they call the fifth chapter. So the prophet Haggai and Zechariah were holding the second year of Darius. So we've leaped forward 14 years of Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus dies. His son, the Jew, Darius. His mother is Esther. His son takes the throne. He's got to be pretty young. And so the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, they tell the Jewish people, B'shum el Yisrael aleihon. They say in the name of God, they tell the Jews. We'll see what they tell. Beidain. Then, so they tell them, go rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And the prophets came and helped them to go and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. So here they are, rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. The Navi told them to do it, and so they do. What happens? So then Tatnai, the ruler, the governor, the Persian governor, over all of the areas west of the Euphrates, his name is Tatnai, Pachat Avar Nahara. He's the one who rules over everything west of the Euphrates. He comes to them. Ushtal Boznaich Uchnavaton. He comes with a man named Shtal Boznai and all their buddies. V'chein amrim lehom. And this is what they told the Jews. Man sam lechom teim. Who gave you permission? Baita dena lemivnei. To rebuild this Beit HaMikdash. V'ushana dena leshachlala. Who told you that you can rebuild the walls around Jerusalem? So then, here's what they told them. We want the names of the people rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. We want to know who's in charge of this. We want to know, so to speak, the eye of Hashem. Hashem's eye was upon the elders of Judea. And so, velovatilu himo, so to speak, it was Hashem's ashgacha that they didn't force them to stop. Adama ledaya veshihach. They said, look, you guys want to check if we have license or not? You ask Darius. You go ask him. So, basically, they created a reality. This sounds very much like our yeshuvim. How did we build the yeshuvim? We just built. And then people came and said, where's your license? And they said, go sue us, but we'll talk in court. And by the time it got to court, there were already 300 families living there. So you had a yeshuv. So that's what you see. Our tactics today came from the days of the Persian Empire. That Haggai and Zechariah, they told the Jews, build. And then the governors came and said, what license do you have? So they said, you go ask Darius, and meanwhile we're building. So they send word. Now this is risky business. Darius can kill them. I mean, he's a king. He doesn't have to answer to anyone. But they were prophets. They said, do it. And they said, okay, now we're going to answer the letters. The following letter was sent by Tatna, the governor west of the Euphrates. They sent the following letter to Darius the king. They sent a letter to him. This is what was written in the letter. We wish Darius the king all the peace in the world. We want the king to know. We went to the Jewish city, to the house of the great God. Notice they have respect for Hashem. And now it's being built with beautiful stone. And they're putting wood in the walls. And this work, they're rebuilding the walls, they're rebuilding the temple, they're doing their work quickly, and they're succeeding. So we asked the elders there, this is what we said to them, who gave you permission to rebuild this house? Who told you you can fortify the walls. Bashmaton she'en alhom lehodautach. And we ask them, what are your names, you elders who are leading the building? We wanted to tell you. Tinichtuv shum gavrei yiyadi v'rashehom. We want to tell you who are the men who are leading this. Uchaneim afitgama tivuna lememar. And so this is what they answered us. Anachne imo avdoi di'ela shemaya. We are the servants of the God of heaven. Ve'ara and the God of the earth. He is one. All we're doing is rebuilding a house that was built for many, many years a long time ago. And a great Jewish king, King Solomon, he built it and made it so beautiful. However, our forefathers angered the God of heaven. He gave his house over into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And then Nebuchadnezzar came and broke down this house. And he exiled the people to Babylon. However, in the first year of King Koresh of Babylon, Koresh the king gave the following decree, to rebuild this temple. And even the vessels of the temple of gold and silver that Nebuchadnezzar took out from the temple in Jerusalem, Nebuchadnezzar brought them with him to his church in Babylon. Koresh the king took them out of his chambers in Babylon. He gave them to Sheshbatzar and he told him, you should be the governor in Israel. And Koresh said to him, Ele manaya, these vessels, say ezelachetimo beechladi v'Yerushalayim, take them and bring them to the temple in Jerusalem of Beit Elahayit Menei Alatrei and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Edain Sheshbatzar dechata, and then Sheshbatzar, he came, Yehavu shayadi Beit Elahayit v'Yerushalayim, and Sheshbatzar, he gave us instructions, and we started rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. And then we started rebuilding it. However, we didn't finish. Right, that's our story. Now, if it's a good idea, before the king, why don't you check your storage houses out there in Babylon? You know what? If you look in your records, you'll see that Koresh gave us license to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And so we ask the king, please send us what you think is a good idea at this point. Notice how beautifully and diplomatically they write the letter. They sort of gloss over the idea that Koresh said not to. They said Koresh said yes to. And we just didn't finish the job, so now we're finishing the job. So Darius gives the following decree. He says, check our records. And they found the following thing written. In the capital in Mead, they found the following scroll. And this is what was written there. The following record. Bishnat chada lechoresh malka. In the first year of King Koresh, Koresh malka samtem betelav Yerushalayim baita yitmenei. Koresh gave the following decree: they should rebuild the Beit HaMikdash in Jerusalem. Ataldi davchin divchin v'ushoyim mesovlin, the place where they would offer sacrifices, and he also gave instructions to fortify the city, rebuild the walls. Humei amin shitin, he said, build the temple, the Beit HaMikdash, to be 60 amos high. Pitayei amin shitin, and its width should be 60 amos wide. Nidbachin de'even gelal telata, they should have three layers in their walls of stone. Venidbach de'achad, and he's funding one layer of wood. The king will cover the expenses. And the vessels of the temple of gold and silver that Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, they will return. And they will be brought back to Jerusalem to the temple. And they should be placed in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? So he finds that record that says, go rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Kaan, then Tatnai. Pachat avar na'ara, shtar buznayuch na'avton ufarseye di ba'avar na'ara. So then, these people, the governor of the western of the Euphrates and the people who came with him, Rachikin havo min tama. He says to them, stay away from the temple. Don't come close. I found the letter. They're right. Shivuku lavidat belahadech. Let them rebuild this temple of the God. Pachat Yudal save Yudah betelahadech yivnon alatrei. The leader of Judea and the elders of Judea, let them rebuild this Beit HaMikdash in its proper place. And I am giving the following decree, with regards to the work of the elders to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, and I'm giving them not only the license to rebuild it, I'm telling them that they should collect their expenses from my wealth. Whatever costs they have, they can take. I am saying that you, the governors, make sure that the taxes you collect, you send them to Jerusalem. The Jews should have the money they need to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. I want them to do it quickly. And nothing should stand in their way. And whatever they're missing, and whatever cattle they need to bring sacrifices to offer the God of heaven, whatever spices they need, or oils, or wine, whatever the Kohanim in Jerusalem tell you, every day make sure they have what they need to bring sacrifices. I don't want you to postpone. They should bring sacrifices for the God of heaven, and they should pray that I, the king, and my children should live. They should pray for me. The Gemara says that sometimes that's a good thing. If a Jew says, I'm giving tzedakah so that I or my children will live, that's called a tzaddik. Uminisim to him, and I'm giving the following decree, says Darius. Any person who tries to change this decree of mine, yit nesach amin baite, the wood of his house will be cut up, his house should be destroyed, uzekif yit meche aloi, and he will be hung by his own house. We will take wood from his own house to hang him. Uvaite nevalu yitaved al dinah. And we will turn his house into a public dump because he is getting in the way of the Jews' rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. That's my warning. And the God whose presence is there in the Beit HaMikdash, Yemagar Kol Melech Ve'amdi Yishlach Yedei Lashni Al Chabala Beit HaMikdash Divi Yerushalayim. May he destroy any king that tries to extend his hand to harm the temple of Hashem in Jerusalem. I, Darius, have given the decree, aspalna yitaved, it should be done swiftly. So, full circle. Now, Tatnai pachat avar na'ara, Tatnai, who was the governor west of the Euphrates, shtar buznayuch yuch na'avaton, all the accompaniment that came with him, lakavel dishlach d'yavash makak, enema aspalna avidu. They took the decree of Darius, and they quickly brought it back. And so the elders of Judea were rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash successfully. This all started with the prophecy of Haggai and Zechariah bar Iddo. They rebuilt and they fortified the walls. And now they had license from all these kings. And our sages say that what Darius did was, you remember those words that Koresh wrote, until I give permission? So it says that's what he was looking for. He was looking for a loophole, and that's what he found. He found that loophole in order to allow them to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And now the Pasuk says, V'sheitzi baita dena, and they finished building the Beit HaMikdash, ad yom tlata lirach adar, on the third day of the month of Adar. This went into the sixth year of the reign of Darius. It took them 4 years to rebuild the second Beit HaMikdash. And so they make a Chanukat Beit Hashem. They make a party in honor of the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash. And then we have an enumeration of the sacrifices that were brought. And then the Pasuk tells us they brought the Paschal offering. Remember, they finished the Beit HaMikdash in the beginning of Adar. So then Pesach came up. And everyone was able to become pure for Pesach. And they brought, everyone ascended to the Beit HaMikdash. They brought a Korban Pesach. And they had a mass. This is the first time they have an opportunity. Everyone's coming back and bringing the Korban Pesach. And they're celebrating Pesach for 7 days. And with that, we conclude what they call the sixth chapter. We move forward. So they rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash. And now we start learning about the author of our book, Ezra. Now that the Beit HaMikdash is built, there's a Beit HaMikdash, now Ezra comes up to Israel. Why didn't he come until now? Our sages say he was learning Torah in Babylon. His Rebbe, Baruch ben Neriah, the disciple of Yirmiyahu, his Rebbe was still alive. So long as his Rebbe was alive, he didn't go up to Israel. So what's passed is 22 years. Remember, from the time Koresh gave license, then he stopped his license. 18 years will pass until Dariavish, in the second year of his reign, will give license again to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Another 4 years to the rebuilding. Now that we rebuilt the second Beit HaMikdash, now Ezra is going to come. And now, our sages say, what happened now? Why is Ezra now coming? Because at this point, his Rebbe passed away. When Baruch ben Neriah dies, then he says, okay, now I come up to Israel. And the Pasuk identifies for us, who is Ezra? He is Ezra, the son of Sriah, the son of Azariah, the son of Chilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Tzadok, the son of Achituv, the son of Amariah, of Azariah, of Merayot, of Zerachiah, of Uzi, of Buki, of Avishua, of Pinchas, of Elazar, of Aaron the Kohen. So we have the genealogy from Ezra till Aaron. And Ezra is now ascending from Babylon. All of this was intro. Okay? This is the book of Ezra. Now Ezra is coming up to Israel. And he is Sofer Mahir, which literally means a quick scribe. Our sages say it really means he knew numbers very well. Sofer over here comes from the word mispar, that in ancient times they called the rabbis Sofer, not only because Sofer means the one who writes Torah, but also because Ezra focused the Torah into numbers. We learn throughout the Shas, Arba Avot Nezikim, there are four prototypes of damages. Lamitet Avot Melachot, 39 prototypes of tasks that are prohibited on Shabbos. So it was Ezra who boiled the Torah down to numbers. Ezra and his generation were called Soferim, scribes who were able to make the Torah into numbers. And he was very swift, he knew the Torah very well. And the king gave him license to go and bring the Jews back into Israel. Our sages say Ezra the Kohen is in fact Malachi the prophet, the last prophet of the Jewish people. So we saw Haggai and Zechariah. Remember, Haggai and Zechariah were already in Israel. They were the ones who were instructing the Jews, start building in the second year of Darius. Where's Malachi in all of this? So Chazal say, Malachi, he's the final prophet, he is Ezra. Oh. Ezra and Malachi, our sages say, we're the same person. Oh. Yes?
What about people that say that Mordechai was Ezra?
Some people say that Mordechai was Malachi.
Some people say Mordechai was one of the people.
Yeah.
Say Mordechai or his king.
What?
Did we say Mordechai was one of the people that made Aliyah?
Okay, but Mordechai went back to Babylon. If Mordechai made Aliyah in the days of Koresh, how come in the days of Ahasuerus he's back in Persia?
Right,
so our sages say he left. But what was he doing in Persia? He was trying to figure out, how do I politically change the winds over here to ensure the Jews can rebuild the Beit HaMikdash? If Haman was in if Haman was there working with his sons in Israel to ensure that we don't rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, then Mordechai is there with Esther to try and ensure that we do rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. So you think it's a new thing that you have the lobbyists in Washington and the PACs? No, we had lobbyists in the days of Hashverosh as well. Mordechai was there to lobby.
But didn't we say he was there because of Baruch Ben-Neriah?
No, we said Ezra was there because of Baruch Ben-Neriah. Okay, so obviously those things don't go together. So Ezra is now going to ascend to Israel. He's going to ascend in the seventh year of Darius. So that puts Ezra, again, in the sixth year, we finished the Beit HaMikdash. The next year, Ezra goes up. And he comes up in the fifth month. What's the fifth month?
Av.
So, Ezra comes up, and he is coming in order to teach Torah. And he has the following letter from the king. Darius gives him the following letter. You, Ezra the scribe, you who have learned the Torah and you've mastered the Torah, I give the following decree. Anyone who wants to volunteer from the Jewish people, Kohanim and Levim, to ascend to Jerusalem is invited to go with you. Because I and my seven advisors, we are sending you to check out how the Jews are doing. We want to know, are the Jews keeping Torah? Wow. Darius tells Ezra, your job is to go and check up on the Jews. Are they keeping Torah? And you'll bring with you silver and gold from the king in honor of the God of Israel. And you will ensure that the Beit HaMikdash is also rebuilt the way it should. And whatever gold and silver you find in Babylon, take with you. People will donate gold and silver, take it. And bring it to the temple. I want everything to go to the temple in Jerusalem. The Kohanim who don't go with you, they should donate to you. And you bring that all to the temple. I want you to use some of that money to buy cattle. And buy the flour you need and the wines you need to offer in the temple. And whatever you and your brethren think is the correct idea what to do with the remaining money, do as you see is the will of Hashem your God. And I'm giving you vessels to take with you for the service in honor of Hashem. I want that things will be done in the most correct and whole fashion before the God of Jerusalem. And whatever else you find lacking, if you need anything else for the Beit HaMikdash, I am giving you access to my treasury. I will fund whatever you need. And I, Artaxasta, am giving the following decree to all of my treasurers on the western side of the Euphrates. Whatever Ezra the Kohen, the scribe, asks you, he is asking you on behalf of the God of heaven, be swift to give him what he needs. Here are my limitations. It's not an open license. He's telling his treasurers, he says, when you collect taxes from the people west of the Euphrates, so give Ezra whatever he needs, up to 100 loaves of silver. Up to, I don't know what the word chintin is, I think it's a type of spice. He says 100 large kur. That's a large, a kur is 30 sa'ah, a sa'ah is 6 kav. So a kur is 180 kav. A kav is 24, the volume of 24 eggs. So 180 times, let's say, 2 liters, so that's 360 liters, that's a kur. And he said, give them 100 of those. 100 times 360, that's 36,000 liters of of wheat, of flour. No, it seems like this was a one-time thing. And wine, you should give them 100 houses or 100 batim. Bat is 30 se'ah. 100 bat of 100 bat of wine, which is also approximately 36,000, the volume of 36,000 liters, and 100 bat of oil, 36,000 liters of oil, and salt, you give him as much as he asks for. No limitation on salt. All of this I want in the honor of the God of the heaven, and I want you to do it swiftly, because why should the God of heaven be upset at the king and his children? And I'm telling you that the people who serve in the Beit HaMikdash, the Kohanim, the Levim, the singers, everyone who has a job in the Beit HaMikdash is given a freedom of license. Don't collect taxes from them. And you, Ezra, in accordance with the wisdom of God that you have, I am sending you to judge the people, because they have to know the Torah, and whatever they don't know, educate them. Ezra, I'm sending you, I'm trusting you to ensure they keep the Torah. And if someone doesn't keep the Torah, so I want you to judge them quickly. Don't let them get away with it. You have to ensure that people keep my laws and the laws of Hashem. If you choose, you can execute people. If you choose, you can uproot people and their children. If you choose, you can take people's assets. If you choose, you could put people in jail. Ezra, you're in charge. Just make sure they adhere the laws and they adhere to the Torah. Blessed is Hashem, the God of our forefathers, that gave King Darius such a thought to glorify the house of Hashem in Jerusalem. Ezra writes this. This is a parenthetical comment. As he's telling us the story, Ezra writes, Baruch Hashem, here you have it, Baruch Hashem Elokei Avoteinu. And Ezra says, Hashem gave me that I found favor before the king and his advisors, and so I strengthened myself, and I gathered the leaders to come with me back to Israel. So the next chapter runs through the different leaders that Ezra brought with him. And now we're up to Pasuk Tetvav. We'll pick up here in a moment. Yes.